Chapter 12, Our Final Thoughts, Helen's Story. If I could pass on with just one lesson that I have learned through all of this, it would be never give up. Never give up on expecting a miracle. Never give up on the salvation of your lost friends and family members. Never stop believing God's word. There is nothing our God cannot accomplish when we stand on His word and endure. The enemy wants you to grow weary and give up. When you give up, he wins the battle. The enemy has tried to kill both Ronnie and me, but I refuse to let him win. I always want to stand on the word of God. I am thankful for godly friends and pastors in both the Church of God and Church of God of Prophecy who stood with me in prayer during all of our trials. Without their prayers and support, the struggle would have been much greater. Always stand on the word of God. When the Holy Spirit tells you something is going to happen, you must believe it, speak it, and stand on it, regardless of what the enemy throws your way. Stop listening to the lies of the enemy and believe the promises of God. Keep telling God, "You said it, and I believe it." The enemy will try his best to steal God's word from your heart. He does not want your destiny to be fulfilled. That is why you must keep speaking and standing on the word of God. The enemy knows exactly what buttons to push in your life, so you have to be aware of his strategies. Deal with your button issues. Many times you will have to fight for your promises, so you must be prepared for battle. Put on your armor of righteousness, truth, peace, faith, salvation, the word of God, and prayer. Cover your situation with the blood of Jesus. When you reach the point where your spirit gets upset enough about the battle you are fighting, and when righteous indignation rises up in your spirit, that is when the enemy has to flee. As a righteous believer, you have power and authority over the enemy. Do not let him gain any ground in your life. Never let the enemy convince you that a situation is hopeless, including the salvation of your lost friends and family members. It is important that you be willing to battle the enemy for their souls. I remember a man named Paul, whom I knew as a child. He was a good Christian man for years, but he had problems in later years that caused him to give up on serving the Lord. He eventually became an alcoholic who, after drinking all weekend, came back to church every Monday morning to ask the pastor to pray for him. One Monday morning, I saw him sitting in his car behind the church, waiting for the pastor to arrive. I talked to him for a while, and I said, "Paul, why do you let the devil take you and do the things with you that he does? I remember as a child how you once had the power and anointing of God on your life. I remember how you touched people, and they would be healed instantly by the power of God." Paul started to cry and said, "I don't know why. Every time I do this, I come by here and have Brother Fields pray for me." I said, "Paul, I am going to fast one meal a day from now on until the day you get your life right with God. I am not going to let Satan have your life." From that time on, I missed one meal a day for Paul. 6 months passed, and I was still fasting and praying that Paul would rededicate his life to the Lord. Paul was in church one Wednesday night when the Spirit of God was moving powerfully in the service. The Holy Spirit gave this message: "I have seen you in your drunkenness. I have seen you sober. I have seen you when you obeyed me and when you disobeyed me. But I say to you this night that if you do not repent, you are walking your last mile." Paul went to the altar and prayed, but he did it to get everybody off his back. The Lord spoke to Ronnie after Paul left the altar and said that Paul had not prayed a sincere prayer of repentance. A few days later, Paul was driving his car about 35 miles per hour when he drove over a small embankment. It was such a slight accident that it did not even damage the car, but Paul's neck was broken. He was rushed to the hospital, and Ronnie visited him in intensive care, where he was hooked to life support machines. Ronnie said, "Paul, I want to talk to you about the Lord. Have you repented of all your sins?" He made a grunting noise to indicate he had not. "Do you want to rededicate your life to the Lord?" He indicated that he did. "Okay, I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to pray." Ronnie prayed, and Paul began to shake under the power of the Holy Spirit. Apparently, the machine started to register something out of the ordinary because the nurse rushed into the room and tried to make Ronnie leave because she thought he was upsetting Paul. "No, ma'am," Ronnie replied, "I am not upsetting him. That is the Holy Spirit saturating this man. Let him receive what he must receive right now." Tears came to Paul's eyes. Ronnie said, "I am going to hold your hand. I want you to press once for yes and twice for no. Do you understand?" He pressed Ronnie's hand one time. "Have you accepted Christ in your heart? Do you know right now that you are a child of the King?" Paul pressed his hand one time. "Do you know that you are saved?" Again, Paul pressed Ronnie's hand one time. "Okay, Paul, I have done what the Lord told me to do. I am going back to your children." Ronnie told Paul's children what happened, and they were relieved to know that their father had repented and restored his relationship with the Lord. The next day, he died. There was no reason for Paul to have to die. If he had been obedient to the Lord and listened to the message through the Holy Spirit that Wednesday night, he could have lived. Ronnie and I have seen both great and small miracles in our lives. God cares about them all. I remember a small creek where Ronnie and his friends used to fish for redfin pike. One day the Lord said, "Pray for this creek, and I will fill it with fish, and you will never be able to catch all of them." They prayed. Then they fished. In a small 6-foot-wide creek, they caught over 200 pike. From that day forward, they caught 200 fish at a time. That creek is not even big enough to hold 200 fish, yet that is what they caught. It never ran out of fish. Even when the creek ran dry, there were still holes with water in them, and the fish stayed in these holes. The Lord performed a miracle for our daughter Rhonda when she was about 10 years old. She was on a church hayride with other youth, and they were riding along bumpy dirt roads in the countryside. Rhonda was sitting on the end of the flatbed trailer near a wheel. They hit a hole in the road, and she fell off and was run over by the wheel. It was a while before any of the children noticed she was gone. They turned back to look for her and found her lying on the ground, unable to move. The children saw an angel come down and touch Rhonda. Then she stood up and climbed back on the flatbed trailer. The entire group had a hallelujah time all the way back to the church that evening. I have been healed many times. One time I broke my foot, shattering my heel and ankle. At the emergency room, they put me in a cast, but they did not tell me that there was a great possibility that I would need to have pins placed in my foot. When we went to the church's state convention, I went forward for prayer. A man prayed for me, and I felt my foot pop like it did when I broke it. I returned to the doctor for x-rays, and after reading them, he exclaimed, "Your foot is healed! Your foot is healed!" I asked why he was so excited, and he replied, "You think you had pain? You have not seen pain until I had to perform surgery to put pins in the bones of your feet. You would have pain like nothing you have ever felt. Now all I am going to do is wrap your foot. Leave this on for 2 days and then take it off." The Lord healed my foot completely, and I have never had another problem with that foot. I recall one time when I foolishly tried by myself to move a chest of drawers from the downstairs to our upstairs bedroom. In the process, I injured my back. I could barely move, but on Sunday night, I decided to attend church no matter what. During the service, I felt two hands touch me, one on my hip and one on my rib. The hands pushed my back into place, and I was instantly healed. Again, from that day forward, I never had another problem with my back. I am thankful to serve a living God who hears and answers our prayers when we have faith to stand on His Word. When God says it, believe it and receive it. Never doubt His Word. James 1, 6 through 7, tells us that a man who doubts is double-minded, vacillating between belief and unbelief in the midst of a trial. He is unstable, like a wave that is tossed by the wind. This person will receive nothing from the Lord because he will fall or fail to believe under pressure. Have faith in God's word and never doubt. God gave Ronnie and me his word that we are called to the nations to heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, and win lost souls for him. So there is no doubt in my mind that it will happen. Yes, the devil has tried to kill us both, but today we are still alive through the power of our living God. The Lord has shown me that the mission work we will be doing will involve 13 airplanes. After he told me that, I began to pray for 13 airplanes. A few years ago, I attended a conference in Nashville, Tennessee, and the Lord spoke to me and told me to give a particularly large amount of money to the offering. As I was writing my check, the speaker said, "The Lord says that somebody here has been praying for airplanes. He says to tell you that they are on their way." That did not register with me as I was distracted writing the check. He said it again, and this time turned to the ministers on the platform and asked if anybody had been praying for airplanes. Nobody raised a hand. That time I heard him, so I raised my hand. God has 13 planes out there somewhere, and he is going to use for mission work around the world. I do not know how to get 13 airplanes, but God knows, and he is able. Ronnie's story. Of all the messages I received in paradise, the one that I most want to emphasize is that Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. The attacks of the enemy will intensify because Satan knows that his time is short. We will begin to see more demonic manifestations than ever before. Because of this, the Lord wants us to be spiritually ready for him to quickly work through us. Turn off the television, banish distractions, and start reaching the lost everywhere they can be found. Ask people how you can pray for them, and be ready at a moment's notice for God to use you to bring healing, deliverance, and answers to prayers. Let me give you two personal examples of what I am talking about. I was preaching at a church in South Georgia, and as I preached, a young man kept speaking in another language, as though speaking in tongues. I did not feel right in my spirit about what this boy was saying, because it did not seem to be coming from the Holy Spirit. About two-thirds of the way into the message, the Lord said, "Stop. Pray for that young man to be delivered." I said, "Church, we are going to pray for this young man to be delivered." We prayed, and when the Spirit left, the young man became limp. That night after his deliverance, he was saved and received the true infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When he returned home and his unsaved mother learned what happened, she was furious. "This is a woman who nearly beat up the pastor and me one time by throwing us around the room." After her son was saved and delivered, she began coming to the services waiting for me to show up again. Although she did not disrupt the services, her plan was to engage in battle with me the next time she saw me. As Holy Spirit-filled believers, we must pray that God will give us the gift to discern spirits. Those behind the pulpit have a special need for this gift because many different spirits operate today, even in the churches. We might find people who pretend to speak in tongues and give interpretations, but their actions are not of God. We must be able to discern what is of God and what is not. It is a shame when even the pastor cannot recognize a demonic spirit. If we do not recognize and take authority over them, they can destroy a church. If a pastor discerns something of this nature operating during a church service, he should have the entire congregation stand to pray. He should say, "Let us pray and repent for anything we have done today that is displeasing to the Lord." Then the minister should pray, "Lord, if we have done anything today that displeases you, please forgive us. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over any demonic spirits that are present and command them to leave this church immediately." If the person wants to be delivered, God will deliver them in that service. Another incident, one that ended tragically, occurred when a pastor and I were outside one day picking up pecans. A boy walked to the other side of the fence, and in a strange voice too deep for a young boy said, "What do you all want?" "We are just picking up pecans," we replied. "Oh, okay," the boy said in his normal tone of voice. The Lord spoke to me at that moment and said, "Cast the evil spirit out of that boy." I did not obey the voice of the Lord. When we arrived home, I received a phone call telling me that the boy went into his home after we left, picked up a pistol, and shot himself. Had I listened and obeyed, the boy might still be alive today. No matter where we are or what the situation, God wants us to be obedient and ready to deal with the enemy. Ministers of the gospel, take heed. Not only do you need to be ready for the Lord to use you at a moment's notice, you also need to clean up your life. God is no longer going to tolerate sin behind the pulpit. He will expose it. When he does, your ministry will come to an end. I knew a minister whose lifelong ambition was to coon hunt, but he was also a powerful preacher. One night, God gave me a strong urge to tell him, "God says you are sinning, and to quit it now." He told me, "I know, Ronnie, I am trying to get straightened out, but I have been hurt so badly." The man continued in his sin and was caught with a woman who was not his wife. The man lost his position with the church. I knew another couple who served as pastors, and everybody loved them. Both were young, energetic, and attractive. Both had come from sinful backgrounds, and she once had been involved in witchcraft. Something in this young man's life was not right, and after a year, the sin was revealed. Eventually, both divorced and married other people. The young man left the ministry. Be careful about the life you live, both publicly and privately. God will not tolerate you telling other people how to live while you are living a hypocritical life of sin. Have nothing in your life that the Holy Spirit can reveal, because He will reveal it. Before you were born, God placed a particular destiny upon your life. The greater the call of God on your life, the greater the attack of the enemy. Satan knows the call and anointing that God has placed on certain people, and the enemy will try to destroy the body and soul of those whom God has called. The enemy will use everything in his arsenal to keep you from fulfilling God's call. We are pulled on one side by the Holy Spirit, who draws us to God, while being pulled on the other side by the fallen angels who attempt to draw us to Lucifer. When Lucifer came to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he came as a cunning enchanter with silver tongue craftiness. A serpent will find the path of an animal and stay in one spot until the animal returns. It waits patiently for the perfect time to attack its victim. Lucifer worked that way in the garden, and he still works that way today. He plans his attack and patiently waits for the right opportunity. He entices people with lies that make sin and evil look wonderful. The great deceiver will have you believing that sin will lead to success, riches, and pleasure. Drugs are one of the most effective plots of the enemy, because once you take drugs, your mind is altered, and the enemy of your soul can easily slip inside your mind and take control. God allowed me to see demonic imps as they attack people on earth. You cannot always see these evil spirits in the material realm, but in the spiritual unseen realm, they constantly bombard people. They come from the front, the back, and the sides to attack your weaknesses. They put temptations in front of you to make you stumble. They want to make you weak enough to surrender in defeat. God made you a free agent, giving you the ability to make your own decisions about life. He wants you to serve Him because you desire to do so out of love. He wants you to worship Him because you choose to do so. When you fail to obediently serve God, there are consequences. You hand the keys of your soul to the enemy, giving him free access to come and go as he pleases. Always be alert to the schemes of the enemy and be ready to advance toward his attacks with the weapons of warfare God gave us. Never surrender in defeat to the enemy of your soul. Instead, be an overcomer. Even though you might have failed God, he will not hold any of your sins against you if you will repent and return to him. All he wants is for you to come back home. In the story of the prodigal son, it did not matter that the son had taken his inheritance and squandered it on unrighteous living. When the son returned to the father accepted him back with open arms, even preparing a great feast upon his return. It will be the same with you. When I was in paradise, I learned that the generations of old were much like the generations of today. The church of Paul's day was just like the church of today. Only customs and technology have changed. I learned that when Noah was building the ark, people came by every day to laugh, mock, and persecute them. At night, they took the lumber Noah and his sons had cut and burned it. The next day, they had to cut it all over again. Scoffers tried to set everything on fire. Noah also had a difficult time with his children. He told them to do something, and they did it for a while, and then wanted to quit. He had to chastise them time and again. After 40 years, Noah told God that the job was too hard, and he couldn't do it. He didn't think he would ever get this ark finished. But God said, "If I told you to do it, you can do it." When God encouraged them, they would get motivated for a while and then get discouraged. God would encourage them again, and they would get motivated for a while and then want to quit. People have not changed. Only the times have changed. In biblical days, there were false prophets who came in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they were ravenous wolves. They were bad trees that bore bad fruit. Today, there are and will continue to be people who claim they are Christians, yet deny Christ. These people are wolves in sheep's clothing. False healers will claim to heal people. Just as the Bible teaches, be careful in whom you put your faith and trust. As believers, we must stop trying to make God into somebody he is not and pay attention to what he tells us. When God says something, it is settled. We do not need to argue over what he tells us. Take his word exactly as he gave it, because he says what he means and means what he says. Study and believe the word of God. Use common sense with his word. We are supposed to take his word and reason with him about it so that we will understand it. There is power in his written word, just as there is power in his spoken word. When God spoke at creation, everything that was said came into being. When God speaks today, that word is still just as powerful as it was in the very beginning. Right now, I am still living with sickness in my body as a result of the many health problems I have dealt with throughout my lifetime. When I was in paradise, I was completely healed. When I returned to earth, I was sick again. When I asked God why I had not been completely healed, he replied, "Because as long as you are sick, you pray without ceasing." I might not be completely healed, but one thing I do know is that I am alive today, when medically I should have died a long time ago. I also know that this sickness does indeed make me pray without ceasing. If God healed me completely, I am not sure I would pray without ceasing. I am always in pain until I begin to preach. Then I do not hurt anywhere. I can walk around under the anointing of the Holy Spirit for 3 days and feel as though I am walking on air. If God heals me completely, that is fine. If he does not, I am still going to serve him and continue to pray and believe for others to be healed. Even though I still have sickness, this multiple death experience has changed my life and planted me firmly in my walk with the Lord. I would not have chosen to have a heart attack, die 4 times, and go through the many things I have gone through. But 7 years ago, I prayed and asked God to mold me into what he wanted me to be, and he knew what it would take to answer that prayer. Now that I have been through these experiences, I would not trade them for the walk I have with God now. Very soon we will see perilous times throughout the world. Total dependence on God is the only thing that will get you through this. Nothing else will. Find your safety in the secret place of the Most High God. When perilous times come, every person will either sink or swim. Regardless of what happens, remember that you still have the Lord. When we truly begin to understand who the Lord is, we will have revival. Finally, I want to repeat these important words of the Lord. Tell people to take heed and seek me while there is time. The coming of Christ is at the door. The generation that saw Israel become a nation will not pass away until they see the coming of the Lord. Tell people to take me at my word. Hear what God is telling us. We are the generation that will see the return of the Lord. There are not many years left, and the coming of Jesus Christ to take his bride home is at hand. Beckon to the call of God. Do not get left behind.